Romans chapter 14 and verses 14 to 17. Romans chapter 14 and verses 14 to 17. Paul says here, I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be evil spoken of. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Foster true peace is the title of today's Adult Sunday School message taken from Romans chapter 14, verses 14 to 17. Here we see in verse 13, for a recall, which we have stopped last week, it says here, let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. And verses 14 to 17 provides for us that example. Right? The Apostle Paul gives the practical advice how peace can be fostered among brethren in Christ. How peace can be fostered among brethren in Christ. And we have this text here in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 13 to 15. This will be our understanding of the principle before we go to the example in verses 14 to 17. Here it says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. God has called us out of the bondage of sin into this freedom. Do not let this freedom allow the flesh to manifest itself again. But by love, Paul says, serve one another. And so he gives us a command that the believers are to do this continually, to do service, to perform services of kindness and Christian love one to another. Serve one another, love one another, devour not one another. To love one another is to treat others how you would like others to treat you. And to devour describes the scheming heart to get gain by destroying the other person. That's bad, is described here. Right? And here the Lord tells us how important it is, right, that we will not put a stumbling block in the way of our brother, that he would fall. And so how can we do so? Verse 14 gives us, and 15 gives us that example. I know, verse 14 says, and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus, that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if a brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ has died. So he's telling us about, you know, petty differences. Right? You go for a meal, and one say, I like this, and the other say, I like that. Let it not become a sore point of contention. So the Apostle Paul is exhorting the believers to exercise forbearance concerning the differences in eating preferences and eating habits amongst them. So we all eat differently, all right? But all have been purchased by Christ. So put not a stumbling block in the sight of the other brethren. All right, so here it says, no food is ceremonially unclean for the Jewish Christian. And it must not become a reason for disunity. Right? There are the others, the Gentiles, right, who could eat anything and everything. No restrictions. And so what to do? Does the Gentile believers follow the Jewish tradition that they would not eat all the food that is ceremonially unclean to the Jews? So you recall in Acts chapter 15, there was this meeting of the leaders in the church, the Jerusalem Council, whereby they came to a decision that the Old Testament ceremonial laws of the Jews would be done away. But there are certain things that they would observe. Food offered to idols, food that is with the blood, food that contains blood, the eating of blood, the food offered to idols, these things we touch not. Right. So there are certain basic guidelines. Right. But here, Paul is saying, let not these things cause disunity amongst you. So, what is his reason? Is that Christ died for such a weak one. As such, this person is precious in the sight of God. Do not tear him down if he chooses not to eat meat. So, he has a different dietary preference from you. You prefer this, and they prefer that. And isn't it so true? These things can become a stumbling amongst the people of God. That is why Paul had to write. This seems such a petty matter as we assess the matter with a clear mind. However, the reality is that the contention is stuck amongst them. The contention is stuck. I believe this is the reason for the apostle to use such strong words by a command to always exercise charity. So he says, destroy not him with thy meat for whom Christ died. God accepts such a weak one. Do not despise nor reject them just because they don't eat meat. Just because they choose to take a vegetarian diet. As Proverbs 18 verse 19 says, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. And their contentions are like the bars of a castle. It's better to defer one to another on such matters so that it does not weaken the bond of fellowship. So that it doesn't weaken the bond of fellowship. How important it is that the bond of fellowship amongst Christians be not weakened because of such points, such matter of habits, right? Such matter of habits. While we may not see conflicts pertaining to Jewish customs, we may see differences in general eating habits when believers go together for a meal. Well, this didn't happen over the last 1.5 years. We couldn't really meet to have many meals except perhaps just among families. But a lesson for us, so that when the time comes that we can gather together again for a meal, then let not these petty differences, let not these differences cause a rift amongst the brethren. May charity be exercised so that the bond of unity be preserved. And what is the reason? Well, Paul tells us that it is for our testimony's sake, for your testimony, that you are to guard your testimony. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself, but to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. But if thy brother be grieved with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably. Destroy not him with thy meat. Defer to him if you can, as much as you can. Right? Defer to him. Let not your good be evil spoken of. So the Apostle Paul is asking the believer to guard his testimony, that he is not charged by the weaker brother for being unkind and lack of grace in accommodating his weakness. So this is very common. Very common. Among believers, we still have our unsanctified self. And the Lord wants us to exercise grace so the weaker brother would understand that his weakness does not warrant such harsh treatment from a fellow believer. Even when a weak brother does not submit to God's truth, the Apostle Paul advised Timothy to be gentle in giving counsel. To be gentle in giving counsel. Paul says in 2 Timothy 2, verse 24 to 25, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient in meekness, instructing them that oppose themselves." In other words, you see the behavior is not right. Paul described they are opposing themselves. And yet you know it, but you choose not to, well, to help them to unoppose themselves, as it were. Giving room and time for the weaker brother. Do not despise or discourage a weaker brother who needed time to search the scripture and discover the truth for himself. So we are at different stages of our spiritual walk, our spiritual life. There are some things that are more sensitive to us, right, that we couldn't overcome. And that's the description of what we call the weaker brother. So Paul says, give room and time for the weaker brother. Pray for him. Give him time. Be patient and gentle. Do not condemn the person. The gentle spirit is patient and helps bring others to understand the truth. So there are many things in our Christian life that is, we said, still lacking. Still lacking. So the idea here is to show tolerance and forbearance. And you realize that this is a fruit of the Spirit in the lives of the people of God. And may the Lord help us to cultivate such a spirit of gentleness. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, verse 17 says, but righteousness and meat and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So let us see the truth for what it is. Let us do the things that matters for what they matter. And so Paul tells us that God's kingdom is not about the meat or the drink. Yes, the meat and the drink is important to our physical comfort. But for the spiritual man, it is not just the physical comfort, but of righteousness, of peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So, if there is this contention that is going on, does it help? Does not help in fostering peace, joy in the Lord. So, the Christians are exhorted to cultivate spiritual fruit, to grow in righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So he urged them not to be squabbling over differences in the physical aspect of life, scrutinizing and taking offense over one another's eating habits. So this is just one example. Just one example. Well, this can happen in many relationships between husband and wife, amongst brethren in the church. Rather, the focus is on cultivating a strong walk with God, with self-examination, confession of sins and obedience to God's word. So Paul is saying to us, fleshly sins must be repented of. Fleshly sins must be repented of. And here we list for you, what are these fleshly sins, right, that we are to put away? Now that we are a spiritual man, now that God has given us to make us a new man, right, a spiritual person, how does a spiritual person respond? Well, Paul says here, now we are to take hold and know the difference, right? The works of the flesh and the work of the Spirit. The work of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, a sexual sin in marriage, fornication, any sexual sin, uncleanness, moral lust. We see this in the example of Judah. Right? We see this in the example of the son of Judah. Lasciviousness, shameless lifestyle, idolatry, worship of false gods. We said mammon, right? Worship of money, greed, witchcraft, sorcery, deceptions and seductions of idolatry, feng shui, hatred, enmity, hostility, variance, contention, emulations, and envious and contentious rivalry and jealousy, wrath, anger, forthwith boiling up and soon subsiding again, wrath, strife, intriguing for office, factiousness, desire to put oneself forward, seditions, dissensions, divisions, heresies, dissensions arising from diversity of opinions and aims, away from the truth, envyings, those things that promoted by envy. As we said before, some weeks back, we see how the brothers of Joseph were envious of Joseph, and that envy, with the father making the coat of many colors for the little brother, made them feel that they are not loved as much by the father. And in that feeling, right, of being less privileged, less favored, less loved, being lesser in the sight of the father, they became unhappy. Well, so the Lord tells us that these are not the things that we ought to be unhappy about, right? Because in the Lord Jesus Christ, He has given us salvation so rich and free. We are all made holy by God, all the same. You know, none of us is better than the other. Right? All of us are the same, made holy by God, all sinners. So what does God would have us to do? Well, put sin off, and God's peace and joy will more and more abound in the believer's life. In other words, we have to take note of this spiritual ailments of the hearts and deal with them. Deal with our hearts. Right? That's what we said about meditating upon the Word of God. Why do we study the Word of God? So that we would deal with our hearts, our own hearts, and deal with our nature that is contrary to God's nature. Deal with it. Put them off so that God's peace and joy can more and more abound in the believer's life. This ought to be the believer's focus, not on the physical things. May the Lord help His people to bear fruit. Now let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Thy grace. Strengthen us by Thy Holy Spirit to follow Thee, to learn indeed how we ought to love one another, serve one another, and not devour one another. How we need to walk charitably, how we need to guard our testimony and cultivate spiritual virtues of righteousness, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For this makes for the kingdom of God and not meat and drink. So Lord, help us. Help us to mortify, to put to death those sinful spiritual sins, and that we may experience true liberation in our soul, in our relationship one with another. Help us, Lord. This I pray with thanksgiving through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.